this message is given in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who bore our shame. Amen. Well, here it is, Good Friday. I'm so glad you're here. But you know what? There will be a lot more people here on Sunday. In fact, if you look at all the Sundays of the year, I challenge you to find any church that has less people on Easter Sunday than any other Sunday during the year. In fact, most people, if they come to church at all during the year, they come on Easter Sunday. Usually the pews are packed. Why is that? Why is it that, even though I'm glad you're here tonight, why is it that the building isn't overflowing with people, but Easter Sunday, we will have many more? I think the reason for that is, in America, we like being positive. We like a celebration. We like to be happy. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a celebration. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being happy. However, I've found that it's always a difficult thing to sell Good Friday in our culture. It's always a difficult thing to market Good Friday in our culture. It seems it's a little difficult to help people in our society see why it's important to think about the death of somebody on an instrument of Roman execution. You know, in a world driven by marketing and fixated on entertainment, Good Friday does seem to be just a little bit out of step. Once again, there's nothing wrong with being entertained. But when people refuse to see the cross because it isn't entertaining, that shows you how distracted we have become in our society from seeing what we really need to see. In fact, you really can't have Easter Sunday without Good Friday. I remember years ago when I was serving a vacancy, one of the churches I was helping out during their vacancy didn't have Good Friday. They hadn't had it for a few years. And I asked them sort of coyly, how can you say he is risen on Sunday when you didn't take time to think about the fact that he died on Good Friday? In other words, you can't have an Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. In fact, as we will hear this Sunday, even the risen Jesus showed his apostles his hands and his side. His hands that were nailed to the cross, he showed them those scars. His side that was pierced by the spear, we heard about that in our gospel reading, he showed him that after the resurrection. That was supposed to be a positive time of celebration, but he deliberately and intentionally pointed them back to the cross. Because you see, my friends, it is the cross that is the center of the Christian faith. But sadly, we're losing that in our culture. In our culture, some churches sadly are marketing Jesus as more of a motivational speaker. That's right, if you just tap into the principles of Jesus' teaching, he will show you how to have your best life now. And of course, there's no room for Good Friday and that kind of thinking about Jesus. Others want Jesus to be someone who will simply show us how we can be happy and successful in this world. But again, what does Good Friday have to do with that kind of thinking about Jesus? You see, my friends, God the Son did not come down from heaven to merely make us happy. He was not incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary to make us happy. He was not made man and crucified for us under Pontius Pilate to make us happy. And it was not to make us happy that he suffered and was buried, or on the third day rose again, according to the scriptures. No, my friends, Jesus is interested in much more than our mere happiness. Instead, Jesus has a burning desire to give us true joy. You see, Jesus does not want us to be distracted by the trivial, worldly happiness that is sold as Christianity in our culture. Instead, He wants us to have the true, lasting, eternal joy that comes from knowing that even though we are sinners who should have been damned for all eternity, because of God's amazing love for us, His willingness to send His own Son to the cross bearing our sin, because of that gift, we now are forgiven and have the hope of eternal life in God's love. That's why tonight is not called Happy Friday. It is called Good Friday. Jesus is the Lamb of God who bore our shame. That's what was going on that first Good Friday. Although Jesus is Himself pure and holy, as the title of the hymn we just sang stresses, Lamb of God, pure and holy, even though Jesus was sinless and perfect, nevertheless, He was carrying all our shame in that pure and holy body of His that day, that Good Friday. That is why He looked so bad on that day that we call good. In fact, most of you here know the events of Good Friday very well. You know how our Lord was nailed to the cross and hung there in bitter agony for several hours. You know how utter darkness descended from noon until 3 p.m. when He died and breathed His last. It was not a happy scene that day. In fact, almost 800 years before Good Friday, the holy prophet Isaiah wrote about that day with these words, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not." Now you might begin to wonder, why was Jesus despised and rejected? Based on some preaching you hear, you would think that Jesus would have been a very popular person, especially if He came to tell us how we could have our best life now and how we could be healthy and prosperous and happy if we just followed Him. Why would people get upset at Jesus? Well, because if you read the scriptures, you find out that the Jesus you hear about in our culture and the real Jesus of Holy Scripture are two different people. The Jesus you encounter in Holy Scripture is pure love, but He loves us enough to tell us what we need to hear. And if you read the four Gospels, you have a Jesus who called people to repentance. Oh yes, Jesus sat with the sinners. He hung out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. But He didn't high-five them and affirm their sin. He called them to repentance. And then He told them that by trusting in Him, they could be forgiven and holy in God's sight and live now and forever as His dearly loved children. But you know what? Jesus said the same thing to the Pharisees too. He said the same thing to the religious leaders who were the good people of society. They expected Jesus to pat them on the back and to tell others that if they were just more like them, they could be saved too. But no, right along with the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes, Jesus told the Pharisees and the religious leaders to repent as well. Well, just like that message is not very popular today, it was not very popular back then. And so He was despised and rejected by men. Those words from Isaiah sum up the way things played out that first Good Friday, when Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, took on the sin of the world and died a sinner's death under the wrath and judgment of God. That's right, I said the wrath and the judgment of God. Right away, someone will say, wait, time out, Pastor. I thought God is love. Yes, He is. The ultimate thing that defines God is love. But the Bible also teaches that love does not rejoice in evil. In fact, true holy love despises evil with a holy anger and a righteous wrath. Even though God is love, the Bible clearly teaches that He is also holy and just. He cannot put up with sin and merely ignore it, much less affirm it. God must punish sin and do away with it. Well, that leads to a mystery, doesn't it? How can God love us sinners and yet still be holy and just? The solution that God came up with is nothing short of amazing grace. In order to be true to Himself as a holy and just God and yet also show His love for us, His enemies, God took your sin and my sin, your shame and my shame, and put it on His one and only Son, and there poured out His wrath upon His only beloved Son, the wrath we should have received. That is the message of Good Friday. The judgment of the holy and righteous God that should have fallen on us for all eternity, He poured out on His one and only Son, that we might turn from our sin and find forgiveness and the hope of eternal life in God's love. You see, when God says He loves you, He points you to the cross and He says, that's how much I love you. And that's the message of love we need to hear in our culture today. We have people saying they love each other all the time, but then later they turn their backs on each other. Marriages fall apart. Parents turn their backs on their kids. Kids turn their backs on their parents. People stab each other in the back all the time, and yet they say they love each other. No, it's God who shows us what love truly is. You know, when the people back then on Good Friday looked at the cross, it seemed for all the world as though Jesus was the worst sinner who had ever or would ever live. Isaiah writes, "We considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted." You see, when the religious leaders saw Jesus hanging on the cross, they concluded, "Hey, we were right after all. He claimed to be the Holy Son of God, but obviously He's not, because if He were, why would God allow His own Son to be hanging on a cross? Obviously, Jesus wasn't God. In fact, He must have been a horrible, horrible sinner, because God would not have let that happen to Him otherwise." That's right. We considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But we learn an important lesson tonight. We learn to look for God not where we'd expect to find Him, hanging on a cross. You see, where the religious leaders and other unbelievers of Jesus' day, and also many unbelievers today, are so blinded is that they look for God in all the wrong places. They look for God where they think He should be found, according to their own reason and intellect, rather than looking at the one place where God has revealed Himself to us. The God who loved us so much that He willingly allowed Himself to be nailed to the cross by our sins, that through that sacrifice we might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. The prophet Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus went to the cross, shows us the truth. He writes, "We considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." The last place we would expect to find God is the first place He wants us to look to find Him. Because there on the cross is where we see the heart of God and how much He truly loves us, even though we don't deserve it. At the cross amid great agony of body and soul, the Son of God opened up the heart of God for the whole world to see. Things were not what they appeared to be. Hidden under Christ's agony and excruciating suffering, we there see the Father's love for us in action. I mean, think about it. Not one of us here tonight would give up his own son to save an enemy. But at the cross, God the Father sacrificed his son, his only son, the son whom he loved, in order to remove the curse of sin from his enemies. That's you and me. At the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, stripped and mocked and flogged, he was carrying in himself the full burden of all the sins of all the world. No wonder then that he was pierced and crushed. For there Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, got what we deserved. At the cross, justice was done, but not as it seemed. Because Jesus was indeed stricken and afflicted by God, but not on account of anything that he had done. Rather, it was our sins, yours and mine, that he was carrying on his sinless back, that pure and holy Lamb of God. Jesus bore our shame. Here before the cross, on which is hung the salvation of the world, our shame and guilt is removed. In the cross of Jesus and by his death, the Lamb of God bore all our shame away. As Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You know, the devil is a real liar. First, he will tempt you to sin and get you to think that God is a joke and that his word is worthless. He will tempt you to sin and live as you please. But once you fall into those sins and recognize deep down that you really have done something wrong, and the guilt begins to pile on and the fear of judgment begins to overwhelm you, that's when the devil ceases to be your friend, and then he becomes the accuser. And the devil says to you, don't bother going back to God. You've sinned against him. You've deliberately rebelled against him. Why would he want you? He would never want you. So you may as well stay with me, because God would never forgive you. Well, that's a lie. No matter what sins are burdening you tonight, no matter what guilt is weighing you down, no matter what shame is keeping you from looking God in the eyes, tonight you can know that it was dealt with on the cross. That's why tonight, with all the horrid imagery, is Good Friday. Tonight is the message to sinners that we can come before God's throne of grace with confidence, knowing that no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been, your sin has been dealt with through the death of Jesus. By his wounds, you are healed. The wounds of Jesus are the strength for the weary, the consolation for the sorrowing, the healing balm for the walking wounded. And thank God, there is room at the cross for sinners who grieve and mourn for their sin, for sinners who know their transgression, for sinners whose sins are ever before them, for sinners who know the bitter taste left over in their mouths from angry words they have spoken, for sinners whose lives are strewn with the wreckage of sin and the anguish of hurt, for sinners who feel in their bones the wretched refuse of foul and polluted thoughts, and who know the awful weight of shame that comes from sins of thought and word and deed. For sinners like us, Jesus went to the cross, and tonight we can know that we are forgiven and holy in God's sight, because the Lamb of God bore our shame away. It is all over and done. It is finished. In this fallen world, your life might not always be a happy life, but your life remains a good life in Jesus. You have a good life in Jesus, the Lamb who died and bore your shame away. So I want you to leave this place tonight in silence, knowing that even though in this world you may not always be happy, you have a good life because your sins are forgiven, you are loved by God, and you have the hope of living forever with Him, and not even death can take that gift away. Every wounded heart and hurting soul can find its health restored tonight through faith in the Lamb of God who bore our shame away. Jesus has vanquished your sin. He has rescued you from death and hell. The whole ugly record of your sin and all its shame has been wiped out, nailed with Jesus on His cross, done away with in His death. The power of darkness is defeated, and the fury of God's wrath has been silenced. Now the fears that haunt us are dissolved. Now even the grave itself can never separate us from the love of God in Christ, His Son. We have this hope tonight because Jesus is the Lamb of God that bore our shame away. And my friends, that's why we call it Good Friday. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who bore our shame away. Amen.